Amen. This morning, I have a book by the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. It's a thin book, but it's written by Charles Spurgeon. It's deep. You'll have to wrestle with it a bit, but it's still it's great. It's amazing. If you get through this and take your time and work through it, you'll have an amazing deep grasp of some very deep theologies. I think anybody in here could do this. It's not crazy deep like trying to understand me when I get into things. Charles Spurgeon was probably undisputed one of the greatest pastors who ever lived. He had a way with words that almost every good pastor would strive to try to live up to the giftings that God had given him. So definitely worth your time. So you have 1 month to read it. Who's going to volunteer? Raise your hand quick. First one, Matthew. Actually, let's give it to somebody else. I've got it digitally. I can share that with you. Anybody else want to read it? Alice, Mr. Ellis. You and Matthew could work on it together. Yes. Sure, absolutely. Amen. What'd you think? Do we get a book review before we go on to the message? Or good book? Challenging?
It was challenging. And after being married 50 years, there was a lot I learned. I had to shut up and start listening.
God's good, amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We've kind of hashed through this a couple times now. This morning, as the last, kind of our last little look at Romans 12, 1 through 2, we have taken 3 weeks to look at two verses, but there's a reason for this. You'll notice there's times where we speed up a little bit, and there's times we really slow down. There's intentionality in this, that these two verses are amazing, beautiful, life-impacting, and some of the sometimes we look at Scripture and we're like, Scripture is like our children. We don't want to have favorites. But there are some Scriptures that are really prominent, that really stand out, that really give us an overview, something that we can hide in our hearts, that we can understand deep things with just a couple of verses. And this is one of those verses. So I believe it's important that we stop and we take a big drink of what God has given us, and that's why we would take a little bit of extra time in this. And maybe just as an overview of Romans up until this point, we learned in Romans chapter 1 how depraved the human heart is. Romans chapter 1 specifically was pointing out the door and looking into the world. And today we merely need to turn our TVs on and watch the commercials, and we can understand very quickly how depraved the human heart is. And while the Apostle Paul shared this and got those that were inside the believers or inside the church, while he got them riled up and saying, yes, look how bad this is, in chapter 2, Paul turns he turns from the window and turns back at us and says, but as for you, this is where you're at. This is where your heart is. This is where each of you, how you fail miserably. This is how you think you're getting around different things, and how you think even your works is somehow making you look better before God, or even your lineage, that you were born into this family, or to apply today, maybe because you're a son or a daughter of a preacher, you think everything is good for you. And he says, you are deceiving yourself. Your heart is still depraved. You are still going to stand before God as yourself. And it's not going to matter who your family is. And then he lays out this, as he spends this time, and sometimes we don't maybe want to go through these chapters very much because it exposes us. It shows us who we are. And as we go through some of these deep doctrines, we find that the doctrine of total depravity, that we're totally separated from God, that we're totally contrary to Him. That, in essence, as Scripture says, there is none who seek God. That we are dead in our trespasses. It's not just that we're separated in our trespasses, but we're dead in our trespasses. We're so dead, in fact, that we can't do anything on our own. It's sometimes we have that illustration of the sinner that's in the ocean, and somebody throws out a life preserver, and it says Jesus on it, and they say, but if you would just grab onto this. But in essence, when we go through Romans, we find that this is a totally wrong picture. Because the picture should be as this, that we're the boat is in the ocean, and they find you or I sunk clear to the bottom of the ocean, lifeless. And by God's grace, Jesus reaches down through the Holy Spirit and grabs us and pulls us up and shakes us to our senses. And the offensiveness of this doctrine, as Paul lays out in Romans to man, is exactly this. That it is, as Charles Spurgeon's book says, it is all of grace. It is all of God. Salvation is 100% His doing. In fact, before you and I could even breathe a breath, before we could even think a thought, before the realm of time even began, if you know Christ today, if you're sitting here and you know Christ, that before all of this happened, it's not of anything that you've done, but He chose you even before time began. That He picked you to show all of His grace. See, this is pride stripping because I have nothing to show for myself. I have nothing to give God except for my depraved heart, except for my flesh, that it's always concerned about what I want, what I want to happen, whether I'm comfortable or not, or where I want the thermostat set in my house. And if you change it, I'm going to be angry because I want what I want. Right? That's what our flesh, that's what I'm about. I'm totally depraved. And by God's grace, in our depravity, He chose to send His Son, Jesus Christ, for every sin that I've ever committed, every time I told a lie, every time that I ever thought impure thoughts, every time that I stole something, every time that I thought the ink pen at the bank was better than mine, so I'm going to take it, or to justify myself a little bit, I'll switch it out with my bad ink pen. Right? It doesn't matter what I steal. If I open Connor's billfold, Braden just had a birthday party. If I open up Braden's billfold, and he's got $500 in there, because he was a good boy this year, right, Braden? If I open it up and I take $1 out of it, what am I? I am a thief. Doesn't matter if I take it all. All I got to do is take a little bit and I'm a thief. And over, God has kept a record of what my flesh has done. And I would see that I am totally depraved. And Paul lays that out before us. And he says, if you're in Christ, if you have turned from your sin and put your trust in Jesus Christ, that you are born again, that He takes this, we still have to battle this flesh, but He puts a new heart within you that now desires God, that craves Him. It's as if we're born again and we're this little infant that just desires milk, that desires to be close to my adopted father. And he says, all of this is completely a work of His grace. He says, we have much to be thankful for, because apart from Him, this isn't even possible. apart from Him, we're destined to be in this world. And in fact, if you don't know Christ, everything that you have now is all that you will ever have. But if you're in Christ, the things that you have now are just rubbish compared to what's to come. In fact, everything is to come. If you don't know Christ, everything is now. If you do know Christ, everything is to come, and for all of eternity. And this deep theology, this deep understanding of what God has done for us and how He saved us and how He's redeemed us is what Paul lays out in Romans 1 through 11. And he gives you, it's as if Paul just brings the fire hydrant and sets it down and says, drink as much as you want. You're never going to understand this completely. But Romans 1 through 11, we could spend our lives studying it, and we would never grasp the depth of God's greatness, the depth of His kindness, the depth of His grace towards us. And so we come to chapter 12, and Paul says, as a result of this glorious God, as a result of this glorious salvation, that this thing that God has done for you, this thing that you've totally were undeserved of, as a result of this, we come to Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See, as a result of Romans 1 through 11, it's not asking of much for us to be a living sacrifice. It's asking very little. As a result of what Christ did for us in salvation, as we think about the wrath that He endured, the wrath that would take me an eternity to pay for, that He endured, compacted in just a few short moments, poured all on Him all at once, and not just for me, but everyone who would come to repentance and faith in Christ, all of their sin was all piled up and poured out upon Him. And God calls us and says, I've given you a new heart. I've redeemed you. I've paid your fine. I've paid your penalty. And on top of that, I've credited the righteousness of my Son, Jesus Christ, in the perfect life that He lived on earth. I credited that righteousness into your account. Right? Just the thought of that should drive us to repentance. Just the thought of that should well up within us such gratitude that we would say, God, how could I serve you? And God, even beyond this, then, after He redeems us, He allows us to be in His ministry. What we talk about in Sunday school, it's He counted us worthy to even suffer. Right? This glorious God who has saved me, the disciples understood this well because they said, He would even beyond this. This is incomprehensible. I can't understand how He could be so great as to do this for me. But even beyond that, He would even allow me to suffer for Him. He would even allow me to be His representative, to live for Him, to serve Him, to be His ambassador to this world. How great of a God is this? And that's what transfers to this, to be a living sacrifice. Sometimes our brain comes up with this negative connotation that to be a living sacrifice, I'm going to sacrifice myself. But when we understand it in light of Romans 1 through 11, it's, I get to sacrifice myself for you? You would count me worthy? You would allow this? His grace just continues to pile and pile and pile. That He would even allow me to suffer for Him. But then to allow me to go to the nations, to go out into the streets, to share this amazing news from my King. And so today, we get to look a little bit more into the renewal of the mind. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Last week we talked about not being conformed to this world or to this age. Not to be like them. In essence, we are not like them. We are foreigners in a foreign land. We're sojourners traveling through this foreign land to a place, the only place where we will be fully and completely satisfied. We then talked about being transformed by the renewal of our minds. And so this morning I'd like to look at what does the renewed mind look like? This word renewal, it's the Greek word anakinosis. It's the act of reestablishing something in like new and often improved manner. So when we see this word renewal, I was talking to somebody yesterday about borrowing things from people that I don't like to borrow things because it seems like that's when they break. In fact, now that I think about it, I was using somebody's weed eater one time and it ran out of string. And they told me, I've had that thing for 3 years and it's never ran out of string until you used it. Any ideas on who that is, Eric? But one thing that I was always taught growing up is if you borrow something, you give it back to them at least the same as minimum, but better, right? And I hope my kids understand that. I want to give something back to you better than when I first borrowed it. And this is that same illustration or that same concept. That renewal isn't that it puts it back to the way it was, but that it is actually an improved thing. That my mind isn't, when you're kids and you can learn things really crazy fast, and then you get older and you realize you can't learn things fast, and then you get older yet, and I think, I don't want to change, and I don't want to learn anything fast. But this renewal is to not only bring it back to like new, but to improve upon it. And then the word mind is new. It's a complex mental state involving beliefs and feeling and values and dispositions to act in certain ways. So it's more than just how we think. It includes our beliefs and our feelings and our values and how we react to different things. So we have this renewal of all of that. This renewal that happens but as we become a living sacrifice, as God begins to change us, to use that big word sanctify, to make us be more and more like Christ. It's this process that happens when a believer is genuinely born again, right? When there's when someone has a baby, I don't have to convince the baby to eat, right? In fact, a baby will be more than happy to wake me up about every 2 hours, or at least wake my wife up every 2 hours and say, I'm ready to eat again. When we're genuinely born of God, when He's given us a new heart with new desires, we desire His food. We desire the Word of God. We desire to know what it says. And this is a process that happens, that the Scripture says that the renewing of our minds happens. Or the Holy Spirit, let me read what I wrote, put down. God's Word is the instrument the Holy Spirit uses to change or renew our minds. It's the Holy Spirit is what changes our minds, but this is the instrument that God has chosen to use. It's His Word. How many of you have ever tried to take off a tire without a tool? Right? Have you ever just tried to go up to a lug nut on a car and just turn it with your hands? All right? This is about the equivalent to praying that God would make you more like Christ and never using the tool He gave you. Right? If we leave these on our counter or our coffee tables to gather dust, we will not see the renewal of our mind as God has desired for us. In fact, as a believer, and not that every day I wake up just hoping I can find my Bible and dig back into it. But on the most part, if you remember, we talked about the stock market chart, right? That's our sanctification, where one day we're up here and we're down here and not up here. It's not that there's lots of ups and downs, but the progression of the chart is always in an upward direction. The overall gist of where we're at. And so there's days that I wake up and I just can't wait to get into the Word. And there's other days when I'm just tired and maybe my kids have gotten up early and now they're talking and I'm like, I got something else I could be doing probably, right? Now that's not, but as a born-again believer, we are going to desire His Word. And maybe I don't get it in the morning that day, but at some point during that day, I need to get into His Word. I need to be fed. I don't forget lunch, right? My wife will tell you, I don't forget supper. I don't forget lunch. My kids are the same way. My kids will actually do a little bit of interrogating sometimes. If they think we've skipped a meal, they'll be like, what did we have for lunch? You think kids don't get things from their dads? If we are born again, we will crave the Word of God. We will crave the food that He has given us to feed our spiritual self. And the Holy Spirit uses it as a tool to continue to renew our minds. In Psalms 119:11, it says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. As a born-again believer, it should be one of our top priorities to not want to sin against God anymore. Doesn't mean that we're perfect, but it means that He is all things to us, that He is the center, the core of our life. How could we want to sin against Him again? And while we stumble and do these things at times and He's got to pick us back up, it should be on our desires to not sin against Him. And oftentimes, we sin against God because we are simply ignorant of His Word. All you have to do is spend a few moments on Facebook and you'll see the craziest theologies you've ever seen in your life. People are sinning against God, thinking that they are doing the right thing, thinking that they are supporting the right causes. This morning, we need to be in His Word. We need to have our minds renewed because we oftentimes don't even see the sin in our life. There's so many areas in which we're blinded. The enemy would keep us blinded. The enemy would show us what culture says and want us to support that because this seems to be the loving thing to do. But by the way, nonetheless, Scripture contradicting or coming against the very thing that we think seems right to us. Colossians 1:28, Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we might present everyone mature in Christ. Now, if you want to know as a pastor, if there was one scripture in the Bible that would tell me what I hope to accomplish as a pastor in a local church, this is any good pastor, this should be their marching orders. This is the thing that should keep me on my knees in prayer. This is the thing that should keep me up at night praying to God that, God, I would be successful in this verse. And let me read it again. It's Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That is the goal of a pastor. That is, in essence, why we have a membership in the church. Because I have to know, who am I responsible to? Who am I going to stand before God and say, God, I have done my best to present a local body of believers mature in Christ. Not just saved. Not just getting along as husbands and wives. Not just raising our children right. But matured in Christ. Renewing in our minds. Our minds being renewed. First by proclaiming the Scripture. But then also warning and teaching and showing you what Scripture says and putting before you over and over the tool of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, that your minds might be renewed. That is the goal, or should be the goal, of every pastor. And even as we spend time together, even as I beat JD in disc golf, or Jake or whoever wants to be my victim, that even in this process, it still should be on my mind that I am trying to help present you as a mature believer in Christ, as someone who has had their mind renewed and continued to be renewed. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. One thing I wanted to share this morning, and I wanted to go 100 different ways, but we probably shouldn't spend 10 sermons out of this text. But I would even write this down, Philippians 4:8. See, the renewing of your mind isn't just so that you think correctly about God. Because if you remember, what did it talk about when it talked about the mind? It talked about your beliefs, your feelings, your values, and your dispositions to act in certain ways. If you would memorize Philippians 4:8. Now see, in our culture today, whenever somebody starts to get down about things, or they just are too antsy, or whatever, and I'm not one of those guys that's completely against the medical industry, because I do think that there are certain people who can be helped by that. But our culture is this: whenever you start feeling down, come to the doctor. We'll give you something to take care of that. Can I tell you what's better? Most of the time, what's better than all of those pills combined is to simply be obedient to Philippians 4:8. Listen to it. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. If you're speculating about what somebody has against you, you don't know if it's true or not. Don't think about that. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If you have a problem worrying about stuff all the time, force your mind to think about what's good. If I think I've offended Connor and all week long he's coming up with some conniving plan to put a password on my computer that I'll never get into before, I could be stressed out all week and I could be down. And I'm talking from experience, not specifically that, I'm making that up. But I've thought somebody's been offended at me before, and I've spent all week not sleeping, thinking about how did they take it this, and how did they interpret that. And I come to see him again maybe in a week later, and I'm like, I hope you didn't take this the wrong way. Oh no, I forgot what you're even talking about. Right? I have injured myself. I've injured my family. I've been down, I've been depressed, and it's all stuff I made up in my head. I failed to be obedient to Philippians 4:8, to think on what is good, think on what is just and honorable and lovely and commendable. If we just renewed our minds in this aspect, we would do our families and our coworkers and everybody around us an incredible favor. We'd be incredibly cheerful people. Why? Because joy isn't related to my circumstances, it's related to Christ. Right? And if I'm doing what he's called me to do, it changes how I relate to the world. John MacArthur said, the transformed and renewed mind is the mind saturated with and controlled by the Word of God. So there's two things. There's the saturation. It's so important that we're in the Word of God daily. It's so important as families, we're getting together and reading Scripture together and praying together. It's so important that the Word of God is one of the primary things in our lives. That instead of doing this or that when we're stressed, instead of when an animal dies in your family or getting all upset, but to turn to God, to turn to Him and trust in Him, to trust that He's, as we went through Romans, to trust that He's in control, to trust that He knows best. It should be incredibly comforting to us. And as our mind is saturated by it, our mind also needs to be controlled by it. Right? You have the decision where your mind goes. You control your mind. Right? You control, guys, if you're driving by the beach and there's a girl that's half-dressed, you control whether you look at her or not. You control whether you keep looking at her or not. You control this. Make it subject to the Word of God. Get the Word of God in there and then obey it. It is life transforming. The Bible tells us it is. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit will use it as a tool to renew our minds better than where they started. Amen? Colossians 3:2, set your minds on the things that are above and not the things that are on the earth. Don't be consumed with how you're going to get the next latest sports car or whatever. Don't be consumed with the things of this world. What do they say, Rick? The day you drive the car off the lot, you've lost $20,000. And then in 20 years, it's probably rusted out and fallen apart and all those things that you thought gave you joy 20 years before are now a problem in your driveway. Set your minds on the things that are above, where rust and, what's the scripture say, and moth doesn't destroy. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. A living sacrifice is not conforming to the age. It's transforming to the image of Christ through the renewing of the mind and offers to God His or her will. See, this is where I can tell where you're at on this path of sanctification. Because there comes a spot on this path where you start to realize, I care more about what God wants than what I want. I care more about His will than my will. And we come back to the starting scriptures or the things that we mentioned, that I counted that I would be counted worthy to suffer for Him. That God, if you lead me to a path of suffering, your will is better than my will. We find that back into the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:10. Jesus prayed, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Luke 22:42, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Everybody say all.
All.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Wherever life finds you, give thanks. If it weren't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be allowed another breath. We've earned not even a fraction of one breath that we'll ever take in our life. Wherever we find that God's path has led us, we will give thanks because this is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And look at the psalmist in 48. I delight to do your will, Oh my God, your law is within my heart. Maybe in conclusion, let me share. We read some good scripture in Sunday school this morning. I don't have it on the board, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Let me show you something about the church in Thessalonica. It says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." So this morning, I don't want there to be confusion. Confusion, I mean, in this. The church in Thessalonica, Paul was excited for them because he says, your faith is growing. In essence, your mind is being renewed. I see the Holy Spirit changing your mind. And he brings it out and says, this is how I know this. It says, your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Here's the confusion that can come, and I hope that I've been very clear on. I can preach a message to you, and I can tell you to control your mind better. I can tell you to love each other better. Right? Because this is what he said. This is how he knows that this is how he knows their faith is growing. Your love for each other in the church is growing. But let me tell you why their love for each other was growing. It wasn't because they were trying harder. Right? This is the danger we can fall into. We can fall into a works-based belief system where if we just try to love each other better, if I just work harder at talking to Barbie every day or talking to Sandy every day or Tom or whoever, if I would just do this or bring them more meals or whatever, that I will love them more. But let me tell you, that is it's a danger. Not that any of that was bad, but the danger is this. That was growing because their faith was growing, because their minds were being renewed. Right? It's when our minds are renewed that these works overflow from it. Right? So this morning, the answer isn't just try harder. It's not try to love each other better, which those aren't bad things to do. But the primary point of this message, the primary point of sanctification or growing closer to Christ is the primary thing is the renewing of the mind. Right? I don't be angry with Brody because I love Brody because I see him differently than I did before. I love Eric because my mind has been changed that I'm not the primary person in my life, but Christ is. And we talked about this in Sunday school. And, our love for each other grows because our love for Christ grows. But the vertical is the primary, right? Does that make sense? The more my love for Christ grows, the more my mind is renewed, the more I'm sanctified and grown closer to Him, the more it's natural for my relationships with you to grow deeper. Right? And let me explain it the way I did in Sunday school. When I look at my children, they have two relationships with each other, and probably more than that. But one, Michaela is the sister of Matthew. Right? But she's also my daughter. And I've told my boys this before. You may not get along with your sister. You may not want to hold the door for your sister. But your love for me should change that because you will hold the door for my daughter. Right? So it's shifting it to the vertical. You may not want to get along with your brothers and sisters, but you will get along with them because of your relationship with me. So, and I guess in a nutshell, I've really kind of went off on a sidetrack, but this is the heart of the message. If you want to be more like Christ as a body, if you want to be more like Christ as a family, It hinges on your individual relationship with Christ. Is your mind being renewed? Are you giving the Holy Spirit the tool to renew your mind? Because when your mind's renewed, I don't make decisions anymore based off of I don't go places today because I have to resist those places. I don't go to those places because I don't want to go there anymore. Right? He has changed my mind. I don't do certain things because I don't want to do those things. In fact, they would disgust me to do these things. If I went to a room that people were around a table doing drugs, I'm not tempted a bit. I want out. I want out of here. I don't want any part of this. And it's the renewing of our minds. And until we come to Christ, until our first step is to turn from our sin and trust in Christ, and then to dwell and to feed our soul His Word, and to pray that the Holy Spirit would renew our minds through this Word, until this happens, you'll never pass from I'm resisting out of my will to I'm not doing this because God has changed my mind. I don't want any part of this. Right? And it's not that we don't battle our flesh, but there's a dramatic difference in I'm doing all I can to resist something I want to I don't want that anymore. Right? And it's the change that only the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. Right? If you turn the TV on or if you talk to people in public about all kinds of things, there's times where I think, I have no idea how you can come to the conclusions you come to. They don't make a bit of sense to me. Do you know why? It's a spiritual thing. Right? Has the Holy Spirit renewed your mind? If He has, He makes things known to you that you can't even comprehend anymore how you thought that was a good idea. Amen? I went way off on a rabbit trail, so let's pray. Father, we come to You today thankful. Father, as we start to read the application, Father, in Romans 12, Father, help us to be reminded that the application has to be a result of the work of Christ. The result of Romans 1 through 11, Father, is what produces the application. The result of saving faith, the result of a renewed mind, is what changes how we relate to the world. It's what changes. It's what causes us to grow in our sanctification, Father. So, Father, I pray this morning, if I wasn't clear, that God, it's not just we're going to make more rules, that we're going to fight harder, and not that there's not that in that, but God, primarily, that Father, we want to draw closer to You, that we want to know You better, that we want to fill our minds with Your Word. That, Father, by Your grace, Your Holy Spirit would change our minds. That, God, we wouldn't be lured by sin anymore. That we would be repulsed by sin. Because, God, sin can never replace You. While the enemy may dress up sin as a pig in a sequin dress, and while we may be lured by these sequins, Father, renew our minds that we might see that underneath this dress is just a filthy pig that wants nothing more than to destroy us. But God, give us the renewed commitment to be in Your Word, to hide it in our hearts, to give the Holy Spirit the best of tools, to give Him a whole workshop full of tools, Father, that we've hidden in our hearts. To spare nothing at the expense of tools, to dwell in your word, to spend hours pondering in it, Father, and then to spend hours praying that you would change us. Father, help that be our cry this morning. Father, help us to seek you like never before, like for every person in here, Father, that this would be a time of seeking you more than any other time in our lives. God, we would draw close and we would draw near. Father, I ask, I pray, I beg, Father, sanctify us. Father, as we, if you should choose not to tarry any further, Father, let us meet you in the air, Father, as a church who is sanctified, who is serving, who counts it worthy to suffer for you, who would suffer and even shutting off entertainment and subjecting our minds to the Word of God, to your Word. Father, I ask that you would draw us. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture would tell us that if there's any sick among you, that they should come forward and for the elders of the church to lay hands and pray for them. And this morning, my sister Carol's been on my heart all week, and I shared that with Jake, and he's talked her into coming forward. So I hope that's still true. But as we sing this last song, I'd like the elders to come, and I'd just like us to lay hands on Carol. She's such a beloved sister. She used to come, and while she could, come and hang out with me about once or twice a month, and just miss those times and pray that God would use whatever, whether we need to share with the doctors or whatever God's will is for this. I just pray it would be true. So, right. So if you'd all stand, we'll sing together and ask Jake if he'd like to pray.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever entrust Him in His presence daily. All to Jesus I surrender humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsake and take me. Jesus, take me now. I surrender all.
To Jesus.
give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Let us not lift our souls to another. Let us not lift our souls to another.
God's good, amen.